across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06, and nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 17th, 7 weeks till Election Day, 49 days to go. Coming up this hour, what should candidates be talking about in terms of the issues? There sure seem to be a lot of diversions out there, but what about the things that actually matter most to Wisconsin families? We'll talk to former Wausau Mayor John Robinson and former school board member Tricia Zunker. They took part in a news conference late last week in the Wausau area about the issues that should matter most and what you should listen to in terms of the rhetoric and also the record of any politician who's asking you for their vote. So we'll have that coming up. We also have the new Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest coming up right on the other side of Brittany Merlot's forecast. So get that Civic Media app ready and get set to text us the keyword that we're going to give you in just a couple of moments. First, wanted to share from Rob. Good morning from Tigerton. He writes on YouTube, it's sunny and 54 degrees. Beautiful sunset last night. And then burying the lead, now here comes, I've lost 32 pounds since May 28th, staying away from junk food and taking walks. Rob?
And woo-hoo. Drinking that water.
Right. Staying hydrated. And also says he loves Hank Williams, loves the video of Hank Williams Jr. with him and his dad singing There's a Tear in My Beer. Which I'd forgotten all about that one. That's going back a few years now. And that he, like I, am a big fan of the Fifth Dimension and loves Marilyn McCoo, who also hosted Solid Gold, as we were talking about TV shows from the 80s, like Star Search and Solid Gold and things like that. So, Rob, as always, we appreciate you writing in. Alicia notes that she's going to try that Suster Supper Club next time that she's in Denmark. She's been making... marking off supper clubs while she's been canvassing for office up there. Brittany, do you have a favorite supper club or two up in your neck of the woods that you like to frequent?
I do not have a favorite. Actually, I haven't even really been to any up here, which is crazy. I used to go to them all the time up north towards Hayward, Superior area.
Yep.
But I don't remember the names of them. What about you guys?
Oh, I mean, I feel like I listed nearly a dozen of them in the past hour here, just dropping names here and there. And I'm thinking a supper club tour might be the way to go here.
Live Up North News Radio, from a supper club.
Ooh. Well, might be the 6 a.m. hour might be a little rough for that. But I would be willing to do my part to show up on somebody's, yes.
Up North News Radio after dark.
There we go. our new online only podcast. Right. Okay, now we're getting way off track and people are waiting to text in their keywords. So Brittany's going to tell us about a forecast that continues to be unseasonably warm. We're loving this, Brittany.
Oh, it's fantastic. That's why I had to wear my kind of tropical Hawaiian shirt here this morning. Feeling the vibe, right? We are going to be near record-breaking high temperatures into a lot of areas in northern Wisconsin here today. That's about the mid to upper 80s is where those records are set. That's exactly where we're going to go throughout the entire state today. So another hot one. Not very muggy, but super sunny and very warm. Again, mid to upper 80s. We could see a few scattered showers or storms way, way, way northwest in the state, right in the afternoon. Chances are small. They'll quickly clear on out of here. And speaking of clear, our skies stay super crisp and clear tonight, where there's going to be a full moon. It's the harvest super moon with a partial lunar eclipse at 9:44 this evening.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, 9:44, I can handle that with a full moon and a partial eclipse. As often happens with a man my age, I was awake at some point in the middle of the night. I could tell it was really bright out there, and I knew that we were getting close to a full moon. And I thought, I should go take a peek at it. And then another little voice said, would you go back to sleep?
Right. So, when I was driving in, I saw what I thought was the full moon up above, like really high up, and then when I got around about 10 minutes later, it was down further. Huge, orange, gorgeous.
It is so cool. The it's an optical effect when the full moon is, you know, on the horizon there, yeah, where it looks just huge. It's one of my favorites. If I could, I love where I am, but we face north, looking up the Chippewa River here, ooh, at Lake Wissota. If I could trade it, it would be to have one that's facing east, so that you could see the full moon rising up over the lake. Because when I see some of our neighbors, yeah, and I'm so jealous. That is such a gorgeous view. Hey, we have a recommendation from Rob for you, who says Chet and Amel's in Burnhamwood.
All right, I'm gonna check it out.
So there you go. We got a place to check, and I know I've got some fish fry suggestions in Wausau there for you too. So we'll work on those. We'll talk later about that.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Brittany. Talk to you later. All right. Time for the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. Here's how it works. Four times a day, we give you a keyword that you will text to us through the Civic Media app. Each of those times, we will pick one entry statewide at random, and that winner gets either $100 cash or gold jewelry, depending on what's up for grabs that hour. Of all the entries, there will be one grand prize winner getting a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. The contest happens weekdays this week and next week at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. You have to text the keyword in the app before the end of the hour. Once you do, you also get a response message. It gives you an optional way to click on a web link to earn additional entries into the contest by completing certain activities. Remember, other Civic Media shows and stations are also taking part in this statewide contest. And if you haven't received or downloaded the Civic Media app yet, get a move on. So here we go. For this hour and this hour only, the keyword to text is gold. He said gold. There we go. It's gold.
Gold. Spell it. Spell it because.
G-O-L-D. Gold.
Last time text. We did this contest, we got a lot of interpretive answers.
Oh, I did not realize this was going to be a spelling thing every time. All right. So obviously a piece of gold jewelry is up. And if you text gold before 7:59 and 55 seconds or whatever it is, just text it now. And be done with it. Text us gold, and you will be part of the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. Although I have realized, and I don't know if you have this issue, Greg, when the text line, when things come over, you get a little bing in your headphones, and I am currently experiencing a level of bings that makes me want to self-medicate right now. But that's good news. That's good news that everybody is texting away on the text line.
I get a buzz on my watch, and when... when it
happens, the point it just starts.
You know, and you know what's infuriating? Can I just take a moment? What's infuriating? We do this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a moment with Greg Bach.
We do the contest at 11 a.m. on Matt and Air on Air, and I appreciate every single one of you who enters. It makes me know that you're listening. You're there. You can call. You can text. You can talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. But when Todd Alba gets on there and he says his word, it's like my watch is like, I give up. It's just so many.
We're saying Todd is popular. So
yeah, I wouldn't be popular like Todd.
Nobody can be popular the way that Todd is. It's his own unique style of popular. And
it's high school. It's also
at the same time his own cross to bear. But that's a conversation for another time. Also from John in Oshkosh on the text line, Black Otter in Hortonville is a great supper club. I have not heard of that one.
Neither
so yes, absolutely. Yeah, going to go for that. Let's see. Also, I see one person put the keyword in on Facebook. Nope, don't do it. That won't work. You gotta text it.
You have to have the Civic Media app to play this.
Yep, so get the app, text us, and that's how that puppy will work. All right, today is National Voter Registration Day. It's something we talk about all the time, so I guess I kind of feel like it doesn't need its own special day, but I guess I'm glad it does because it gives us an opportunity to talk about it. And brand new on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, you will find a new op-ed there from a UW-Madison student Her name is Selah Richter. She's a UW-Madison sophomore studying special education and elementary education, and talks about growing up in a rural conservative town where she felt she had limited opportunities to express her political beliefs, but held on to the hope that when she turned 18, she could express her voice more freely in our nation's most vital institution, our democracy, and says that that right to vote is a cornerstone of hope for all Americans. And so she hopes that the arrival of National Voter Registration Day is a reminder of how important it is that we continue to work to protect this freedom. And what we mean by that is that there are still people who are looking to suppress the vote, to dissuade people from voting, to take away voting rights. And she uses the example of people who have been convicted of felonies. And we always talk about the notion of paying your debt to society. You are put in prison. You lose a lot of your rights and liberties. But at some point, you have paid your debt to society and you get to start over because it's not a death sentence or it's not a life sentence. If it's not a murder, you pay the sentence. But for the longest time, there were states that actually had a lifetime ban on voting if you'd ever been convicted of a felony. That has slowly been going away over the years, but now some states are working to bring it back, if not explicitly, then through enough roadblocks that it would try to, again, prevent people from even trying to take back their voting rights. So she mentions in her op-ed at our website that there are two key pieces of legislation that offer a path forward, the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, a package of bills that ensures every voter who's eligible can cast their ballot without the fear of suppression, intimidation, or harassment. And again, you can read her full op-ed at upnorthnewswi.com. So it's worth noting that the U.S. Senate is going to be holding a vote today on voting rights legislation. They're going to be talking about these important issues and others. J.D. Vance will not be there. J.D. Vance will be in the Chippewa Valley and, again, missing out on an opportunity to vote on something that is extremely important. But Tammy Baldwin's office has made sure that it's noted that she will be in D.C. and voting on issues that are important, again, to Wisconsin families. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we have a new story on our website about Eric Hovde and his personal benefits from the 2017 Trump tax cuts. That's next. You're up north. The Supremes were in a recording studio on this day in 1968. Love Child was the result of that, another one of their many hits. Here on Up North News Radio, it's just about 7:21 on this Tuesday morning, September 17th, and I need to make a correction on something I said about what's going to be happening in Washington, D.C. today. I made mention of this is National Voter Registration Day, and the op-ed mentions two pieces of voting rights legislation. That is not what's going to be taken up in Washington, D.C. today. I had an oversight here on a press release that said that today there will be a press conference in D.C. on the need to pass legislation that protects every American's right to access in vitro fertilization and other assisted reproduction technology. Today, the Senate is going to vote on a bill that Tammy Baldwin supports, the Right to IVF Act, which would establish a nationwide right to IVF and eliminate barriers for the millions of families looking to use IVF to start and grow a family. And it was pointed out to me that J.D. Vance and others who say that they are all for protecting IVF will not be there and will miss that vote in the Senate today. On our website over at upnorthnewswi.com is a new story that I just posted about Eric Hovde and the benefits that he has received through the 2017 Trump tax giveaways. Now, the the 2017 tax package was called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Now, a lot of people just refer to it as the 2017 Trump tax cuts. I don't think that that's even fair to call it that, because the tax cuts went overwhelmingly to the very wealthy. There was a very short window in the very beginning when there were across the board tax cuts that even middle class Americans received. But that was essentially a ruse. That was a little bit of candy to get you in. But then over time, those tax cuts for the middle class were reduced and will expire, while the tax cuts for corporations and for the very wealthy hang on. And so as that bill gets set to expire, it was an 8-year law, and I won't bore you with the details of why it was just an 8-year law, but it has to do with, you know, showing that you didn't blow up the deficit, even though you really did. Well, that's coming up at the end of next year. And so something's going to have to happen in Congress, one way or the other. Whoever wins in the White House, the House, and the Senate, they're going to have to figure out what to do when this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 expires. Because when it does, if nothing else is done, other people's taxes are going to shoot back up. Meanwhile, some of the corporate tax breaks are going to stay, and the rest of us are going to have to figure out how to pay for that. And estimates are that if nothing changes, if the 2017 Trump plan were to simply be renewed, which is what Donald Trump wants, which is what Eric Hovde wants, it could blow a $5 trillion hole in the deficit. Keep in mind, the original bill has already created $2 trillion in additional deficits. Everybody was told at the time by Republicans, oh, no, these tax cuts are going to pay for themselves. Tax cuts have never paid for themselves, especially on such an immense and reckless scale as what was done in 2017. That was the bill of goods that Republicans tried to sell to voters as a way to get Donald Trump a second term. It did not work, as it became more readily apparent that this was nothing more than a tax cut for the very rich. So an examination of records since that time shows that, for example, SunWest Bank, that's Eric Hovde's California bank, saved at least $3 million in taxes in 2018 and got another $3 million tax cut in 2019 after the Trump tax giveaway benefits kicked in. But what really gets to me about the 2017 deal was, again, these promises that with corporations getting these massive tax cuts, that they would then take that money and they would make these huge investments in capital improvements, in equipment and facilities. They would raise workers' pay. They would provide more training. They would invest in research and development. They would give more to charity. It didn't work out that way. The companies in the S&P 500 did spend about $5 billion more on bonuses and wage hikes. Yes, about $5.5 billion. Another $171 billion in their tax cuts they used in stock buybacks. And by buying back their outstanding shares of stock, it disproportionately benefited the executives and the very wealthy, who were far more likely to own many more shares than an average investor or employee. It inflated the stock value, which is how company officials have their compensation determined. So it was an incredible giveaway to the very wealthy and to company CEOs. In 2019, SunWest Bank converted $2.5 million of capital stock and another $1.3 million in 2020. In 2021, SunWest declared a $15 million in cash dividend on common stock, again benefiting the largest shareholders. Is that new to them? Yes. In 4 of the 5 years prior to the Trump package, SunWest did not declare dividends, showing that the new habits were likely a direct result of Trump's legislation that boosted overall bank profits a whopping 44% nationwide in the law's first years. Another part of the 2017 tax plan we've talked about before, it was something that Ron Johnson personally demanded and got for limited liability corporations, LLCs, designed as pass-through entities. That's where the LLC does not pay a corporate income tax. The individual owners count the company proceeds as personal income, and then they pay personal taxes on that amount. Well, Ron Johnson insisted that the pass-through tax rate be cut big time from 30% to 25%. And Ron Johnson has acknowledged the change benefited him personally, and we've talked repeatedly about an investigation by ProPublica that showed how Johnson's wealthiest campaign donors, the billionaires Dick and Liz Eline and roofing company owner Diane Hendricks, may have altogether received $500 million in lower taxes over the 8-year life of this bill. And by the way, that's $500 million that they paid less in taxes that you and I have to make up in higher taxes unless services are cut. So having received an estimated $500 million, it's no surprise that the Elines and Hendricks have put tens of millions of dollars into contributions to political committees that have helped Ron Johnson and other Republicans. Well, Hovde Properties, LLC, also stood to benefit from that little tax sweetener, with Hovde's personal wealth estimated as high as $550 million. He would certainly qualify, along with the roughly 200,000 other Americans with annual incomes of $1 million or more, who received a total of $17 billion in lower taxes through that pass-through break. His personal taxes were probably cut by about $76,000 a year. And so when you hear from Eric Hovde that Donald Trump needs to be elected, and he does, to keep the 2017 tax breaks in place, that's what's at stake. More after this. You're up north. We'll talk to Chad Holmes in just a bit to find out what's happening on his little radio show up there in beautiful Wausau. But in the meantime, we've got a couple of our Wausau friends joining us, Trisha Zunker and John Robinson, to talk about some of the issues that are at play in the campaign. Trisha, good morning. Your speaker's a little bit loud there, so we're getting a little bit of feedback. But thanks for being here. How are you?
Good morning. I apologize about that. The fan is going.
That's okay.
Good morning.
Between the microphones, headphones, fans, kids, dogs, we deal with it all here. Former Mayor John Robinson, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, and you?
Very good. Nice to have you both here. I wanted to reach out to you both because you, along with a candidate for assembly in the area, had a news conference yesterday, and I saw it as an opportunity to refocus public attention. There are so many things in this campaign, this election season, that could rightly be called diversions, diversionary tactics to try to get people not to focus either on people's records or on, you know, issues that should maybe matter a bit more than they already do. Trisha, as a parent, as a former school board president, still an associate justice on the Ho-Chunk Supreme Court, former candidate, all of the many hats that you wear, I doubt that there are a few people more attuned to the issues than you and to John. What were the kinds of things that you talked about last week that you want to make sure that voters stay focused on when they weigh the candidates that are going to be on the ballot?
Well, thank you so much, Pat. And I completely agree that there is this plethora of diversionary tactics. Instead of focusing on the real issues, which is that Wisconsin Republicans have failed working Wisconsin families time and time again by obstructing common sense solutions, things that would raise the minimum wage, bring down the cost of health care and child care, and expand worker benefits. Democrats truly are working hard to try to improve things for Wisconsin families and provide opportunity. And that's what's on the ballot in November, is improving opportunities and making things easier, not harder, right? We should be providing opportunities to thrive, not just fighting to survive.
Let me ask you about one of them, and that's the issue of paid family and medical leave, where we already see next door in Minnesota having paid family medical leave will come into full effect in 2026, where nearly every employee will still receive a certain percentage of their wages if they need to take time off to care for a medical issue, a parental issue, a caregiving issue with a family member. What's the advantage that Minnesota is going to have over Wisconsin because of what their legislature has done?
Yeah, Minnesota is doing some really amazing things right next door. So paid family leave is really important. Workers shouldn't have to choose between being home to help their family in times of necessity or going to work. Paid family leave is just something that is long overdue. It means that people, especially women, aren't forced to leave the labor force to care for their families or their health. We also see that there are benefits in the working environment, things like improved morale, just from having that paid family leave as part of their worker benefits, essentially. What paid family leave and medical leave means is a stronger economy, healthier families and businesses, and truly greater equality for women and families.
It sounds rather common sense, but John, I know that in March of 2020, at the height of the beginning of the pandemic, I recall Senator Ron Johnson being opposed to bipartisan efforts to mandate paid sick leave and expand federal unemployment, saying that it could, quote, incentivize people to not show up for work, which I think gives you an idea of the difference in mindset between what the Republicans are offering versus the potential for recruitment and advancement that you would get with things like paid leave. I might need you to unmute your mic there, John. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry, you need to look at these as investments. You know, I think Tricia did a very good job of highlighting it. But, you know, it not only helps the mother and the family, but it helps the father in the bonding. But, you know, you need to be able to attract people back into the workforce. With the pandemic, a number of people left the workforce. And I read an account that 35% of the women have not returned. And many of them have found that it's unaffordable because they're paying for childcare and other services. It's a questionable financial benefit to return to work. And I think we need to look at how do we attract those people when we've got worker shortages back into the workforce. And you do that with child care credits. You do that and making sure that you've got safety nets in places for those people that do return to work and make it a meaningful and profitable experience.
And John, as a former Wausau mayor and current member of the Marathon County Board, I feel like all of the business contacts that you've had have continued to make progress in this one thing. For years, the talking point that came out of Republicans primarily was it's all about taxes and regulations. Cut taxes, cut regulations. Cut more taxes, cut more regulations. When, in fact, so much of the business community is looking at the quality of their workforce that you would find in things like good schools, paid leave, affordable housing, infrastructure. I feel like it's almost made the job a little bit easier for local officials like yourself to engage with the business community because we no longer have, you know, that broken record that we're hearing about taxes and regulations instead.
Well, that's correct. We currently have a proposal before the county board that will call for the county to use $200,000 of American Rescue Plan Act dollars to create a tuition reimbursement program to try to address the shortage of daycare providers. And the Wausau Chamber of Commerce has been at the table in the crafting of the proposal and very supportive of it. And I think they realize that we need to make those investments. They're also very concerned and highlighted the need for housing. In what we can do to expand housing opportunities to attract workforces and retain workforces, because we simply don't have enough affordable housing for workers. And there are other investments that we need to make in infrastructure, whether it's roads, where Governor Evers, when he campaigned for the first time for governor, said, let's just fix it relative to our roads, because our roads had deteriorated to a point where I think the average citizen was paying about $760 approximately for car repairs associated with bad roads. And, you know, it also deals with broadband access and expanding fiber to the homes to allow people to participate in today's economy, whether it's telework, telehealth, virtual education, or just connecting with friends.
Well, remind folks out there that in the last budget cycle, Governor Evers requested $750 million of additional funding to expand broadband to the rest of the state to help with businesses and homes. Do you recall what Republicans in the legislature ultimately gave him for that?
Well, they gave him nothing.
Oh, that's right. It was $0, wasn't it?
You know, and that's part of the problem. They chose to rely on the federal initiative that was created where there's was $42.5 billion available nationwide. Wisconsin will get $1.55 billion to allocate for bringing access to the underserved parts of Wisconsin. That will not be enough money. And we need to make those investments to make sure we're not disenfranchising those individuals and putting that at a competitive disadvantage. All too often, you know, they've turned down federal money, but, you know, often when there is federal money, they say, well, it's being taken care of by someone else, not looking at the entire problem. Broadband is a significant problem. And to wait 5, 10, 15 years to get broadband access is in today's economy is not acceptable.
And Tricia, on the subject of turning down federal money, let's talk about Medicaid expansion here. And how would things be different if the Republican legislature's temper tantrum about the Affordable Care Act hadn't happened and Wisconsin had joined 40 other states right now in expanding Medicaid and especially expanding postpartum coverage as well? How would the landscape be different in Wisconsin?
Well, the bottom line is more people would have health care. And it is absurd and frankly infuriating that the Wisconsin Republicans want to continue to play politics over people's lives. Healthcare is a basic necessity, and the Medicaid expansion that would just continue to make healthcare more accessible for vulnerable populations, especially that need it. The bottom line is that Democrats care about one another. We care about our families, we care about our neighbors, we care about strangers on the street, and want to see good for everybody. Whereas the Republicans continue time and again to want to just dig their heels in the ground and not work with one another, work across party lines for the benefit of all. So I really want to encourage people when they go to the polls in November, or if they're casting an absentee ballot or voting early, to keep that in mind, because all of these things are on the ballot. It's not just people's names, but it's opportunity.
And Tricia, you and I are former candidates for the 7th Congressional District. We have been all over places up north, and we know that even with newer legislative boundaries in the maps, it's still a tall order. It's an area that has trended conservative for, you know, quite a few years now. And yet at the same time, do you feel like there are voters up north who, especially with these new maps, especially with what's happening at the presidential level of the ticket, are willing to take a fresh look at these legislative races if they keep these bread and butter issues in mind rather than the shiny distracting objects on cable TV?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there are a lot of people that do vote, that do consider themselves independent. And I think that the situation this year is especially stark. This is the most consequential election of our lifetime as it relates to the presidential election. We couldn't have a more stark contrast between the two candidates. And I think at the end of the day, we are more alike than we are different here in Wisconsin. And I think that Republicans do not have a monopoly on faith, freedom, or flag. And I think this year it's especially clear. So we certainly have issues in the rural part of the state that need to be addressed. And certainly the Democrats can work hard to do that.
John, I know that we saw vice presidential running mate Tim Walz in Wausau the other day. We saw Donald Trump in Mosinee. All three of us, you know, if we'd be very wealthy if we were given a dollar every time somebody said to us, we vote for the person, not the party. So we have people that very much consider themselves as independent thinkers and voters. So, John, what do you think that is, in fact, the case in this election cycle, and that's why we keep seeing these VIP visits? Are we going to keep seeing this through November?
Well, I think that they're all vying for a relatively small percentage of the voters that are undecided voters, and I think I'm happy to see that Central Wisconsin and hopefully Northern Wisconsin is in play and will receive the attention. We're one of those swing states where because of the close recent elections that everybody's paying attention to us. And I think that has an opportunity for us to highlight the issues and concerns. And I'm hoping that at the end of the day, more of them go for Harris than for Trump. I just would like to share, you know, it's so ironic. Back in the 1980s, when I was mayor, we had all sorts of discussions about the Hmong in Wausau eating dogs and cats and growing carp in their basements, and they were unfounded. And you're seeing that those issues play out again. And it's sort of a campaign that tries to divide people and us versus them. And I think many people feel disenfranchised. I don't think the messaging of the Democratic Party has been effective in dealing with them in the past. And I hope that with Tim Walz and some of the messaging that's taking place this year, that we're seeing a different environment. But I think we have to find ways to bring people together, but it really is that small number of undecided voters that are in play and drawing the attention.
Very much so. And you know, of course, now you have Assembly candidate Yiling Zhang on the ballot there, providing a very credible opportunity and an option for voters. And yes, sadly, you reminded me that I remember hearing all about the carp rumors and others around Eau Claire during that time as well. And I'd like to think that we've moved on, but clearly some of our politicians have not. So thank you for helping us with the perspective. John Robinson, Tricia Zunker, good to see you both very much. Have a wonderful day. Let's talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks. And bye-bye.
When we come back, we'll talk to Chad Holmes from Bow Falls Radio. You're up north. I think Tony has put it appropriately. We had John Robinson and Trish Zunker. Now we've got Chad Holmes. Tony puts it, what a Wausau day. Sorry, Wausum. What a awesome day.
Okay,
this
hold
is.
On. Hold on.
Wait. Okay. Wow. Tough crowd here. Here's Chad Holmes from that radio station I'm still getting used to calling by its correct name, 98.9 WXCO. I like Bow Falls Radio. I'm still very fond of it. But here's Chad from 98.9 WXCO to tell us what's coming up on his show next on 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. How are you this morning?
I'm in the same boat. I think anybody that's been in this business for any length of time, whenever there is a change, whether it's a change in branding, yes. Mm-hmm. Or a change in format or whatever it may be, how many times do you always fall back into that old rhythm? I mean, you say something about a million times, and all of a sudden you're told, no, you cannot say that anymore. It's like, yes. Very, very difficult. So,
and that's exactly when you say it, you're like,
yes. Exactly.
I worked at a TV station that for like 50 years went as, you know, TV 13. And when I moved back here a few years back, I was so, it was so weird to hear them say WEAU 13 News. It just doesn't fall off the tongue. But, you know, branding changes for all kinds of reasons that we don't have to get into right now. But we
that would be just a show with itself, though.
we'll save that for another day. In the meantime, it would, Greg loves this word, it would behoove me to give out the keyword again for the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. The keyword is gold. Cool. You have about 7 minutes or so to text gold to us through the Civic Media app, and you'll be in the running for a piece of gold jewelry and maybe that grand prize to see the green and gold in Green Bay on December 23rd. All right, we've taken care of branding and contests, and we've heard from Tricia Zunker and John Robinson about all the issues that should be getting discussed in Wausau. So what did we miss?
Oh man, I mean it's just very interesting. And again, both Tricia and John are just fantastic. And again, yes. The whole idea about the issues. And again, you know, it shouldn't be so hard to stay on the issues. But it just feels as though whether it is through us in the media, we have, you know, a responsibility as well. But you get suckered in so easily sometimes. And I do think that, you know, we spend way too much time talking about things that don't matter. And to hear, you know, two very intelligent and civic-minded folks talk like that was, you know, it's enlightening. It makes you feel better about the process, about democracy, about self-government. So, you know, I just think that, you know, they hit a lot of important issues. I mean, I sit out here and I see, you know, construction at the old Wausau Center Mall. I mean, there's so many things within every community where you're trying to make things a little bit better. And I think what they talked about when it comes to housing, especially in this area, I mean, it's just one of those items that has to be, you know, and it's not just the Wausau area, but I mean, it is such a big, big issue right now, and the childcare issue as well. I mean, it seems so commonsensical to focus on these issues that either people are able to, you know, live and have an opportunity to grow within their lives and their families in a certain area or not, and not to talk about silliness like we tend to hear by entertainer / politicians way too often.
Oh my goodness. And to hear, you know, JD Vance trying to give a holier than thou speech yesterday and say that it's, you know, the left, and that you can't be calling, you know, Donald Trump a fascist when Donald Trump then turns around a couple hours later and refers to Kamala Harris as a Marxist and a communist. You know, it's like, you know, ethics for thee, but not for me. You know, it appears to be the case. And it again gets us talking about that, the ridiculousness of it. So that's why I'm glad we have people like John and Trish to kind of keep reeling us back in. Like, don't just call out the ridiculousness. Get back to the kitchen table issues that matter to people around here.
And something else you mentioned in your discussion was the idea of northern Wisconsin and over the last couple of decades, the trend to the right, and that, you know, the new maps will not be you know, a panacea in terms of changing that, the, you know, the map, whether you see, you know, red or blue from certain districts. But at the same time, and something I'm going to be talking about in my show, as I will be talking to the state of Wisconsin campaign manager for the Harris Walls ticket, Garen Randolph. And something I've noticed, and I'm sure you probably noticed as well, is over the last two cycles or three cycles, the idea of the Democratic Party, you know, they've done a wonderful job of maximizing the vote in Madison and Milwaukee, the deep blue areas of the state. But even if you maximize it, it's still, you know, a 50-50. You have to be able to peel the votes away in western Wisconsin, in central Wisconsin, in northern Wisconsin. And I'm going to talk to him about the idea of coming to Wausau multiple times. I don't recall candidates for, you know, national office coming here to Wausau. They've been, you know, the last couple of cycles, but we had Tim Walz last Friday. He, you know, he came on, talked to me a week and a half ago. I mean, they obviously are focusing on it. You see the vice president again coming to Wisconsin often, but not just to Madison yet. They still have to make sure that Madison comes out fully, but it does feel as though the idea of peeling votes away instead of having a 50-50 state in November to have the opportunity to make it 52-48. I mean, let's get that little bit of you know, a breathing space, and also again just to make sure that people in this part of the world hear the message. You know, that's so much I think of the key in terms of allowing Democrats to start to be more competitive in a lot of these races where they haven't been for the last couple of decades.
It reminds me just how much things have changed. It was exactly 40 years ago that Walter Mondale was ridiculed that he and Geraldine Ferraro would go to Merrill, Wisconsin for their Labor Day picnic because Wisconsin was thought to be safe. But, you know, Mondale said, this is a great union area, great union representation, and I want to kick it off here with the working men and women of North Central Wisconsin. Well, now you're crazy if you don't come to North Central Wisconsin, because we are that much of a swing state that you're not going to be ridiculed for coming here. You're going to be ridiculed if you don't.
But that said, they hadn't been coming here. That's the point. Even 4 years ago, I don't recall anybody coming here. I know there's other areas of the state. And, of course, 8 years ago, it was ignored completely. So, again, the idea that...
That's what I'm saying is we're changing. Yep.
Yeah. I just
progress.
I think we're seeing the Democratic Party be more engaged in areas outside Madison and Milwaukee this time around already, with 7 weeks still to go in the campaign.
It's well past time that happened as well. Chad Holmes, hear him on 98.9 WXCO coming up next. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. And Greg, Matt and Air on Air, 2 hours from now.
2 hours from now, we got Todd Alba at 10:33 and then 11:06 from Common Ground. It's a community group that Kevin Solomon talking about the housing authority in Milwaukee.
All right. And tomorrow here on this program, we will be talking about school districts getting more into the childcare business for multiple reasons that we will explain, plus our climate check report with Melissa Baldoff. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for joining us for Up North News Radio. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.